This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. I want to share something of a topic that I've wanted to talk about for a while, but it's actually been something that I've hesitated speaking about. And the reason why I wanted to speak about it was because I had received a few emails from a few people asking about the same thing. And whenever I would speak about it at the MSA or just with people individually, others will reach out to me and ask the same question. So it seems like this is a topic that people want to hear about. But it's a difficult topic to unpack. But I'll try my best, inshallah, to share it with you, inshallah. This is, I'm going to frame it around an ayah of the Quran. Ayah number 232 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is ayah number 232 from Surah Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you have divorced women, talking to men, that when you have divorced somebody and that lady has finished the waiting period, her waiting period before she can get married, فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ, then that lady who is a divorced lady should not be stopped from remarrying again. إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, as long as there is a consensus or there is an agreement mutually between the two, between the divorced lady and her husband who she wants to marry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That is a reminder, that is an admonition from Allah for the one who believes in Allah and the last day. That is purer for you. ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ. That is purer and better. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. This ayah has, as you can tell by the translation, a context, a sabab al-nuzul, a reason why the ayah was revealed. So I want to share that with you, inshallah, as well, to make sense of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and then from that, talking about the topic at hand. Imam Ibn Kathir and Qurtubi and many others narrate, describe in the books of Tafsir the background to this ayah that is recorded by Imam Bukhari and many others, Ashab al-Sunan, that Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu, a Sahabi, had married off his sister to a man. أَنَّهُ زَوَّجَ أُخْتَهُ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So, the sister of Ma'qil ended up getting a divorce from her husband and came back to the house of Ma'qil. Now her husband wanted to remarry her. The husband who had just divorced her wanted to remarry her. They wanted to get back together, reconcile. Ma'qil said, أَكْرَمْتُكَ بِهَا وَزَوَّجْتُكَهَا فَطَلَّقْتَهَا وَاللَّهِ لَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَيْكَ أَبَدًا. Ma'qil رضي الله عنه said, as the brother of this of his sister, protective brother of his sister, he says, I honored you, I married you, my sister, and then you did this, you divorced her, she's not coming back to you, she's not returning to you. At this time, this ayah was revealed, the one that I just recited, 232. And then when Ma'qil heard this, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَهَا Ma'qil, he said, I hear what my Lord has to say, and I am going to respond to my Lord. أُزَوِّجُكَ وَأُكْرِمُكَ وَكَفَّرْتُ عَنْ يَمِينِي. He says to this man, I'm going to marry her back to you. You can get married again. And I will honor you. I dishonored you by saying what I've said. I will honor you. And I took an oath that you can't get together. I'm going to expiate my oath. Okay? That's the background. Now let me unpack that a little bit as well. In Islam, if a man and a woman get married, and then the husband issues a divorce, after the waiting period, which is about 3 months approximately, has finished, within that period, the husband has the right to reconcile and resume the marriage. After the waiting period, if it's the first time or the second time that they have divorced, they can remarry and get back together again. But this has to be with mutual consent. إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Mutual consent. They both have to be on the same page. If it's the third time, it's too late. It's been too many times the divorce has happened. But two times, it's fine. They can get back together. This is what the ayah is referencing specifically. That if a husband and a wife has just divorced, and then the waiting period has passed, 3 months have passed, now they want to get back together, and they can get back together according to the ayah, according to the sharia. And they are إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They want to get back together. They regret the decision they made. They regret the fact that what happened between them, the issues that were caused. But the family refuses. The family of the girl says, no, no way. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ. Don't come in the way to stop these people from getting married again. That specifically is what the ayah is referring to. It is also a general ruling. The general ruling here, and that's what I want to talk about, is the idea of adl, hindrance, preventing a woman from getting married to somebody who is what is described in the books of fiqh as kuf'an lahu, someone who is an appropriate match for her. Stopping her from getting married as someone who has never gotten married, or preventing her from getting remarried to her ex-husband, or preventing her from getting remarried to somebody else, a man that she's never been married to before. Any of these situations, the ruling generically can be applied to all of them. As you can understand, the specific ayah and the specific situation is about that particular case, the divorce and the reconciliation of a husband and a wife. Okay, but it applies to all the cases outside of it as well. The cases of hindrance, and hindrance from the wali of the girl. The girl who has a wali, generally her father or her brother, hindrance from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explicitly banned that. فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ. This is a nahi. And this is ijma' of the four madahib, that this is something that cannot be done. A woman who wants to get married should not be stopped from getting married. This is the email I was referring to. This is the conversations that I'm referring to in the very beginning of my introduction. That I've had more than a few people reach out to me and ask this question. I want to marry this boy, or I want to marry this man, and my father is refusing it. What's the basis of the refusal? Well, I am from this country, or my father and mother came from this country, and this particular person is from that country. That's the basis of it. What do I do? And this girl is trying her best. This one instance and many other instances like that. Trying her best to do things Islamically. They're not going out on dates. They're not hanging out together by themselves. They want to do things as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined in his book, and as the Messenger of Allah sallam practiced with his sunnah. But the hindrance for this couple is their own family. And the basis of the hindrance is not a valid basis. There is valid basis for a wali to reject a proposal. The scholars of fiqh have many chapters on this topic. For example, a person who is not practicing the faith. That is basis for the wali to say, you know what, I don't want to marry my daughter or my sister off to this person. Okay? Or somebody who is a corrupt person. Their business practices are shady. They're cheating. They're lying. Those are basis for a wali to say, you know what, this is not something, that's not a person I want to be marrying into my family. Legitimate, no problem. The illegitimacy comes when the adl, the hindrance, has absolutely no basis in the sharia. And it becomes a reason that pushes people away from the practice of the faith, as it should be, to the practice of something that's haram. The temptation of haram. It's a very serious matter, brothers and sisters. And we need to have a honest look at ourselves and our families. And have an honest look at our community. How is it, or why is it, that we are putting barriers in front of people that Allah and His Messenger did not put? And then those barriers are pushing those same people towards haram. The Prophet ﷺ told us in a hadith, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. In marriage, in the intimacy of a couple, that is considered to be an act of worship, like an act of charity. The Sahaba asked, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ. One of us is basically fulfilling our desires, and that is a reason for ajr. The Prophet ﷺ replied by saying, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٍ. Consider if he was to do the same thing, the intimacy that he has just achieved or has just practiced. If this person was to do it in a haram manner, would it not be sinful? Wouldn't it be something that they're liable for on the Day of Judgment? The answer is yes. So that is why doing it according to the sharia, doing it in a halal way, is an act of worship. Because the alternative is haram. There isn't any other halal alternative to it. So this hindrance, unfortunately, is something that pushes us away from what is halal and pushes our young people towards something that is haram. That is a very big deal. That's a very big deal. We see in the scholars, or the scholars of fiqh, talking about this. We have, for example, the our mashayikh from Amja, the Association of Muslim Jurists of America. They have a declaration on family law. And how to deal with issues of the family in North America. Okay, that's a very interesting document. I encourage you to Google it and read it, inshallah. In that, they mention that in the case of hindrance, if the wali, if a man, like the father or the brother of a girl, is illegitimately hindering the girl from getting married, on a basis that is not approved by the sharia, on something that does not make sense logically. Okay? If that's the case, if that is established, then the wali of the girl no longer remains the wali. And the girl can proceed with either someone like her uncle, like a dad's brother, as wali, or a trusted, reliable imam as wali. And this is something you can read in their declaration. This is Article 23, 24, and 25 of that declaration. And they give evidences from the sharia for that reason. In fact, this is mujma alayhi. This is actually ijma'a of the scholars. Once hindrance is established, the wali loses his wilaya. The wali has lost the right to be a wali, because he is not fulfilling the role of the wali. The role of the wali is to protect. Is to protect from threats that maybe the girl cannot see. It's to ensure that he is vetting the person properly. But the role of the wali isn't to become the obstacle to marriage. That's not the role of the wali. And when that happens, and it's established on clear grounds, then that person loses the wilaya, and that is something that the fuqaha are mujma alayhi, they all agree upon this. It's a serious matter, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned in the introduction to my khutbah, this request, in one way, in one form or the other, I have received it multiple times as messages of people who are frankly very, very desperate and extremely frustrated. And they alternate between frustration and anger. Frustration because they can't move on with their lives. Anger because they don't know what to do. What options is left for them? These are serious matters, and that's why our scholars take this stuff very seriously. And they talk about this. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Imam Ahmad goes one step further. He takes this to another level. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says, and this is the standard position in the madhab of Imam Ahmad, that a wali who rejects continuously, repeatedly, the proposals for a girl. Continuously and repeatedly rejects the proposal for a girl, and the proposals are good people. There's no basis for that rejection. The person who does this has lost the wilaya. That's mujma alayh. Everybody agrees to that. But Imam Ahmad says something else. He says, this man is a fasiq. So this man is a fasiq. And he says, his character is questionable. His shahada is not accepted in court. And if he leads the people in salah, the salah is invalid. This is from the shurut of sihat al-salah, shurut of imama in the madhab of Imam Ahmad, that if the wali who is al-mu'adil, he's preventing and it's established, cannot lead the salah. If he comes to give testimony in court, the court has to throw out his testimony. That is how far Imam Ahmad goes with this, rahimahullah. Because it's a serious matter. It takes people who want to do things the right way and forces their hand to do things the wrong way. That's a devastating thing to do. It's a really, really devastating thing. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم واستغفر الله لكم واستغفر الله لكم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا أما بعد. I began by reminding you that, or sharing with you that this is a difficult topic and it's a complex topic. And I like to highlight and clarify that family matters are sensitive. Okay, I'm speaking in general terms. I'm speaking about an ayah, its explanation, the take of the fuqaha on the matter. Specific circumstances are each case should be dealt with on its individual basis, on its individual merits. And these are sensitive matters. I'm speaking in generic terms and providing generic guidelines. Okay? Specific issues, I encourage you very, very strongly to speak to Sheikh Amin about those matters, seek counsel, and get the specific guidance for your particular situation from him, hafidhahullah. All that said, brothers and sisters, our faith is a divine light. That's what we believe. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَى. Allah guides to His light whoever He wants. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. We have sent you a clear light. This nur that Allah describes, this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, referring to his religion as such again and again, speaks to the person, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sharia, and the practitioner of the sharia, the one who adheres to the sharia. When they practice the religion and adhere to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a person who is munawwar. That is a person who is enlightened. That's how we're supposed to see ourselves when we are practicing the Quran and Sunnah. That we have been enlightened by the Quran and Sunnah. That's what our faith is, brothers and sisters. It never condones oppression. Our faith does not condone oppression. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. The Prophet ﷺ has established this as a principle. إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, I have forbidden oppression and have made it forbidden to you, so don't oppress each other. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even the smallest thing that we can think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not wrong it. وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفَهَا. To the contrary, if there's anything good, Allah will multiply that. That's what our faith is. Whatever there is good, there is naturally good in people. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. That's what we believe. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَخْوِيمٍ. We're created in the best way, with a sound mind, with a pure heart. The Sharia comes to make it better. The Sharia is there to take those things to the next level, to remove whatever is not good, and to magnify and make better what's good in a person. That is our deen. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. That's the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our deen does not condone oppression, in fact seeks to eradicate it. It wants to remove it at every turn. If you see an oppression or oppressive situation within our families or extended families or communities, it's our responsibility to speak out against it. It's our responsibility to discuss it with wisdom. ادْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. With wisdom, with good words, not offending, not hurting, not insulting, in a way that will inspire change. That's part of our faith. That's what the Prophet ﷺ told us. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. If you see evil, change it. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. If you're not able to change it, then speak out against it. وَلَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And even if you can't speak out against it, because it's dangerous, it will probably harm you, then at least know that it's wrong. Don't forget that it's wrong. Don't let oppression, or don't let evil become the norm. That's the weakest level of iman. أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. The implication is, below that, there is no iman left. Below the weakest level, there is none. Part of our faith is to talk about these things and the things that are not correct in our communities and our families, and hopefully through the light that Allah has revealed in His book, through that we find our solutions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement it in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for those young brothers and sisters who are looking to get married. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for them, and to save them from temptation and fitna that surrounds them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up the hearts. Open up the hearts of the awliya, of the walis. Open up the hearts of the families, so they don't prevent their young from getting married. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين، وصل على محمد في الآخرين، وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أحينا على سنته ومتنا على ملته، واحشرنا في زمرته واسقنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.